Our study now is in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and in this chapter, the Apostle Paul teaches us here the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit's work in illuminating or enlightening the Christian believers to discern the gospel, to understand the gospel, and to receive the gospel. The gospel of truth cannot be perceived or understood by human beings born in sin, apart from the illuminating grace of the Holy Spirit. Our subject this afternoon is the unseen and unheard gospel. And the text is in verse 9 and 10. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul in this chapter is showing us that the wisdom of this world is not able to discover the things of God. That the merely carnal mind, the carnal man, born in sin, is not able to know the deep spiritual truth of the gospel. And this text is a general fact. And it is capable of specific application to certain cases. And the fact is, the things of God, the truth of God, the things of God here refer to the truth of God, cannot be perceived by our eye and ear and heart, but must be revealed to us by the Spirit of God to the believers. We shall focus on that part of the text that says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God have revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Let us begin by considering the nature of free grace in different time period, in different dispensation. We begin with the patriarchal era or time. A patriarch who, like Abraham, was gifted. He was gifted with this spiritual foresight. And Abraham might have looked forward to the Levitical dispensation that glories of the temple worship. It's a kind of glory when God filled that tabernacle. And then he might have a glimpse of Solomon's magnificent temple. And yet, Abraham could not have know how clearly God will reveal himself in the next era or the next dispensation. In the time of the Paschal Lamb when Christ comes, he has no clear knowledge of that, where the people of God will be led, will be fed, guided, and provided for, and directed all the way through the wilderness to that fair country which the Lord Jesus has prepared for the believers. But God have revealed unto them, or unto us, the believers, by his Spirit in our time. We are blessed with that opportunity where God revealed it to us. The saints in the Old Testament, like Abraham, they could only by the eye of faith see that much, but they could not see quite clearly as what we have in our time. Moreover, at the close of the Levitical system, the prophets, beside the patriarch, the prophets, they might have foretold the coming glories, the coming of the Lord Jesus. For example, the prophet Isaiah, he standing in the midst of the temple, beholding all the sacrifices and the dim smoke that went up from them. He saw, by faith, as the Spirit reveals to him, Christ crucified upon the cross. And he wrote it down in the book of Isaiah. And he beheld Christ soaking in his own blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He saw the disciples of Jesus going to Jerusalem, to every part, to preach the gospel, the word of God. And Isaiah marked the progress of the Messiah's kingdom. Yet, Isaiah, the prophet, he could not know how clearly God will reveal himself in the next era, in the next time period. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And for now, brethren, we, in our time, we stand on the borders of a new era. We are called or considered to be Christian in the New Testament. God's redemptive dispensation is almost finished as we watch the various events happening around us in the world. Though we are not certain of the exact time of Christ's return, but yet we know as we meditate upon Scripture, as we read the Scripture, God in His mercy does reveal to us something of His coming. Soon, brethren, soon, very soon, those who are united in Christ through the Holy Spirit, we shall enter upon another condition. We shall enter into another epoch of the church. This sin-cursed earth of ours, which has been enveloped in darkness, in misery and sorrow, this earth, or we shall put on the garments of light. The earth, this sin-cursed world, like Paul says, has long been groaning in travail and sorrow. But this soon also, this sin-cursed world soon will end. This land, as we see around us, and not only here, but throughout the whole world, the land that has been stained with blood, is soon to be purified by love, and the gospel of peace is to be established soon. The hour is coming when the storms of life shall be harsh, when tempests shall be unknown, when the whirlwind and the hurricane shall stay, shall cease, and when the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you may ask, and I ask too, what sort of kingdom that is to be? What is this kingdom of Christ or kingdom of God is to be? And whether I can show you from Scripture or in any other way any likeness of it, well, I must confess that I'm not able. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him in the next millennial era. But God has revealed unto us by His Spirit. Soon, brethren, we will have a clearer and clearer view of our eternal glory, of our celestial city, the new heaven and the new earth. But for now, we do not profess to understand every detail of these things. But it is enough for us, by the eye of faith, to believe that the latter day of glory is approaching for each one of us who are in Christ. Our eyes soon will sparkle with joy. our tears all will be dried by our Savior, in the full belief that this is coming, and our hearts will swell big at the thought of our Master, the Lord Jesus, who is going to reign over the whole wide world and to win it for Himself. And this is our hope. This is the future that is awaiting for those of us who are in Christ. Meanwhile, brethren, let us pray that the Lord will give us patience to be long-suffering, to endure for a little while more, and soon we will see our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, meanwhile, while we continue our short sojourning here, let every one of us be like the wise virgins, to prepare for the return of the bridegroom, to prepare to meet his or her Creator, as the prophet Amos commanded us in Amos 4:12. And so this leads us to consider our eternal home, which we call heaven, or we can call it the celestial city, which the Lord Jesus had prepared for His chosen people. John, the Apostle John, says in John 14 verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven is, as it is called in the Bible, what is it like? Are we able from the scripture, or perhaps by some other means, to have a clearer understanding of what heaven is like? Well, first of all, I submit to you that it is not a heaven of the senses. The eye had not seen it. We thought that we have some idea of this celestial city when we consider, like the psalmist, the works of God's creation, the galaxy, the vast beautiful landscape of nature, the wonders of the deep ocean. When we look at all this, we thought we have some kind of an understanding of what heaven is like. But it is all a mistake. The creation of God, the beauty and the amazing wonder of God's creation is insufficient to give us an understanding of what heaven is like. All that we can see can never help us to understand heaven. Then equally in the text we read, "The ear had not heard it." Have we not, and I trust that you have, that blessing from the Lord, that are at certain times on the Lord's day, have you not on a certain Lord's day worship, heard the message of the gospel, and the Spirit of God impressed that message upon your soul, upon your heart, upon your mind, and we thought, wow, this preacher on that certain day brought a very powerful message that sort of like lift us up to the third heaven. I remember many years ago when I was here and I attended the yearly school of theology at MedTap, and I remember one particular speaker who has now gone home to be with the Lord, where Dr. Master has invited him, and when he preached, he truly, at that moment, it is like bringing the whole congregation into heaven, to have a foretaste of what heaven is. And that was indeed a very blessed moment. However, even such thing is all insufficient to help us to understand heaven. And then at other times, and I'm sure you also, those of us who are believers, you may have experienced that when we sing the words of the psalm or sing the hymns, the words of that hymn or the psalm elevates our soul to the heavenly realm, and we feel the nearness of God. But again, we make a mistake. Ear had not heard it. Then there is another error that we fall into, and we think that that would also help us in understanding what heaven is like. They have said that they would like to go to heaven. There are many people, I said this before, if you go down to the street or even just stand outside and ask any passerby, would you like to go to heaven? And I'm quite sure, generally speaking, unless the person is a Satan worshipper, he or she would like to be in heaven. But if you ask further, why would you like to be in heaven or go to heaven? One of the main reasons is this. They will tell you, they look at this heavenly city as a place that they should be free from bodily, physical pain, free from any of those diseases that they dreaded. And so they regarded it as a heaven of the senses. And this is also a great mistake. For although we shall have a body free from pain, indeed, believers in Christ, when we enter into glory, into heaven to be with our Lord Jesus, indeed, the Word of God tells us that we will be free, set free from all these bodily infirmities, bodily diseases and pain. Yet it is not a heaven where our senses shall indulge themselves. So heaven is not a place for the delight of mere sense. We shall be raised not a sensual body, but a spiritual body. Secondly, the new heaven, the celestial city which Jesus has prepared for his blood-bought children, is not a place of imagination. Man, we created in the image of God, we have the capacity to form in our mind many imaginations, isn't it? Of what heaven is like. We can imagine heaven to be a place, to be a very colorful place, with bright lights. Not like what we have on earth. But never think that imagination can picture heaven. When it is most majestic, sublime, when it is freest from the dust or the corruption of earth, when it is carried up by the greatest mind or knowledge, yet imagination cannot picture heaven. It has not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Imagination is good, but not to picture us heaven. Your imaginary heaven will find by and by to be all a mistake. Though you may have built up in your imagination fine castles, you will find them to be castles in the air, and they will vanish like thin clouds before the gale. For imagination cannot make a heaven I have not seen nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man to conceive it. You see, brethren, it is the Spirit of God that can give us a foretaste or a guess of what heaven is like on this side of eternity. And so this leads us to verse 10a. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This verse tells us that it was first revealed unto the apostles by the Spirit of God, so that the apostles, upon receiving all this as the Holy Spirit reveals to them, they wrote something of it in Holy Scripture. But it is also refers to us, every Christian believer, that every Christian believer born of the Spirit, we do have have glimpses of heaven while we are here below. And that God thus reveals to us in some extent, not fully, to those who are His chosen people, so that the believer indeed can understand what heaven is in some measure, though not in great details. So, we ask, how does God, gracious Spirit, gives us a foretaste of heaven, or give us a glimpse of heaven while we continue to live in this sin-cursed world full of misery and sorrow? I suggest this. First of all, a Christian believer can get a glimpse or taste of what heaven is when we are in the midst of trials and troubles. When we are able to cast, in such a time like this, to cast all our care upon the Lord because He careth for us. When the waves of troubles, distresses, pillows of affliction pour over us, Christians, there are times when our faith is so strong, so strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that we can indeed lie down and be still and rest in perfect peace. You see, affliction may come upon us, smite the Christian to the ground, but yet, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he or she can still look up and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Persecution, affliction surrounds us, the believers, but he who is in Christ, she who is in Christ, is unmoved. Nothing can touch that saints of God. Therefore, heaven is something like that. A place of holy calm and trust in God. Another reason in which Christian has a foretaste or are able to have some understanding of what heaven is, or a glimpse of heaven, during the time of our quiet contemplation, our time of quiet devotion spent with the Lord Jesus Christ in our private closet. These are precious times. These are precious hours with the Lord Jesus, when we shut the world out, when we close our doors, shut ourselves out of the noises and the affairs of the world, to be far, far away from all this toil, strife, and noises. Then, it is during those times of quiet contemplation that we find our heaven, that we find our God nearer and nearer to us. When we engage ourselves in contemplation, contemplating what? Well, to help us, I suggest, to contemplate the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, to think of Him, of what He has done for you on Calvary's cross, to reflect that great mystery, secret of God's electing love for you. Out of the millions, billions in this world, why would God chose you to be one of His children? In considering the immutability or the unchangeableness of that blessed covenant God made, and then in thinking also of the Holy Spirit, which says that bloweth where it listeth, in remembering our participation of that life that comes from God, we should contemplate more and more on this. Think of these things. And indeed, by doing so, we will be able to, at least to some extent, have a foretaste of what heaven is. And also, furthermore, think of your blood-bought union with the Lamb of God. Think of the consummation of your union with Christ and all other such topics. Think of it in your quiet devotion. Then it is that we know a little about heaven. Brethren, do not be discouraged when you discover that you have very little of such sweet, intimate moment or a foretaste of that eternal city of God. Many a times indeed we cannot or do not deny the fact that many of this, the cares of this world, the various responsibilities and duties of life has taken up much of our time and filled our mind with so many things that we need to do and have to do. Deadlines to meet, and this and that, and children, and oftentimes we have very little time to get ourselves away from all this for a time to spend with the Lord. So do not be discouraged. Do not think that you cannot, therefore, with so many things in your hands, you cannot have heaven revealed to you by the Spirit. I tell you, brethren, you can. You can if, first of all, you are truly the Lord's people. You can, first of all, if you are truly in union with Christ by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you that one of the places where you may most of all expect to see heaven is at the Lord's table. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper, make sure, brethren, that you will avail yourself to it. Do not turn away from that table, because coming to the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's Supper is one of those places where you can have a foretaste of heaven. If there is one season or one time period in which the soul, our soul, your soul and my soul as believer, gets into closer communion with Christ our Savior, it is the Lord's Supper, it is the Lord's table. So whenever it is possible, and especially for us, for the time being, we can only do it at certain time because we need an ordained minister. But whenever that opportunity comes, make sure you seize it. Make sure you come at the Lord's table. Another opportunity whereby we may have a glimpse and a foretaste of what heaven is when Christian believers assemble together for prayer. It is at prayer or prayer meetings that believers are so much drawn together, akin to what heaven is. It is as a place of devotion that we get more ideas of heaven by the Spirit there than in hearing a sermon preached. It is when we entered into prayer together as members of the body of Christ that we will be able to have a foretaste of heaven. If we entered into the vitality of prayer at our prayer meetings, then it is the Spirit that reveals heaven to us. So I urge you, brethren, if you desire to have a glimpse of heaven, come for our church prayer meeting. Perhaps there are those who, after hearing this message concerning all these things of the gospel and also things pertaining to heaven, perhaps after hearing all this, you feel that, or you felt that it is of no concern to you, that it does not make sense to you at all. And to those who may be in that condition, let me declare to you that the gospel and the glory of heaven is to us, the Christian believers, wisdom. And what you consider to be of no concern to you, of no value, of it being senseless to you, take note. It is the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden mystery. And it is hidden to you. And the reason why it doesn't make sense to you, the reason why it is of no concern to you, and if you think that it is all foolish talk, let me refer you to verse 14 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him or to her, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you, I'm quite sure, all of you here, if not most of you here, would understand this text or this scripture. The natural man refers to the unbelievers. The natural man refers to those who are outside of the kingdom of God. And therefore, if you are outside of the kingdom of God and you do not have Christ as your Savior, it is only natural that such things of the gospel, of the eternal kingdom, of the coming new heaven and new earth is of no use or no concern to you because you are outside of God's fold. However, if there is a penitent sinner here, allow me to inform you, my friend, that you cannot have any vision of heaven unless you first look through the hands of Christ. I repeat, unless you first look through the hands of Christ. And by this I mean, the only glass, the only way through which a poor sinner can see the glories of heaven or the glorious heaven, the only way is to see it by the nails holes in Jesus' hands. You understand what I'm talking about? You must first see the pierced side of the Lord Jesus, the side where all his blood and water gushing out. You must see, first of all, the holes on Jesus' head. It is through that, then only then, can you have any vision of heaven. Do you know that all of God's grace and mercy was put into the hand of Christ, and that it never could have flowed out or streamed out to you unless His hand, Christ's hand, had been bought through in crucifixion. I urge you therefore, brethren and friends, go, confess your sin to the Lord Jesus, and you can be assured He will wash you clean and whiter than snow, and make you clean and whiter than snow. If you feel that you cannot repent, go and tell Him too. Go and tell Him also, for He is exalted to give repentance as well as remission of sin. So may the Spirit of God give to us true repentance and true faith, and then we, as the saints of God, together with sinners, we shall meet together and we shall both see and hear and know. But till that time, we can only have these things revealed to us, the Holy Spirit, and we will seek more and more of that each day as we live and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to Thee that we are indeed a very privileged and blessed people, that Thou in Your mercy has revealed to us something of Yourself, something of the eternal kingdom to come. And we thank Thee for giving us the faith to believe. And we pray that You will increase this faith in us, that we may trust and obey Thee, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, and that, Lord, You may, in this new week, grant us Your wisdom and Your grace, that we may indeed seek more and more of the things of God, and that Your Spirit will open to us clearer, fuller of what it is to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.